Easter weekend, we bid you welcome in the Lord's great name. Let's sing together the missionary hymn 669. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the lambs who've gone astray far from the shepherd's fold away. Bring them in from the fields of sin. Is a member of our mission board, our brother Mr. Jonathan McCauley, and we value his contribution on the board. We're going to ask Jonathan to come and lead us to the throne of heavenly grace in prayer. He was one of the speakers this morning at the Sunday school, and he was telling the children about a visit that he had to the land of Brazil, and that was very interesting. Good memories of that trip. Brother Jonathan, thank you.
Let's pray. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, that we can bow in Thy presence tonight. We thank You, Lord, for that name that is above every other name, the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the cross work of our Savior. We thank You for the blood that was shed there. And, O Lord, we thank You tonight that we can read our titles clear to mansions in the sky. We thank You, Lord, for the joy of sins forgiven. And, O Lord, we pray that You will bless this meeting. We pray, Lord, for those that would be gathered in tonight that are still not saved. We pray, Lord, that You would even save them tonight. We thank You, Lord, for this missionary weekend. We thank You, Lord, for even putting it in the heart of Reverend Kearns many years ago to start this weekend. We just thank You, Lord, for continuing down through all the years. And we thank You for our pastor who has that missionary mind, Lord, and heart for mission work. And we just pray, Lord, that You will bless every effort of this congregation and even of our whole denomination. We pray, Lord, You'll own and bless our labors in Thee. We pray, Lord, for the mission board. We pray for the missionary council. We thank You for godly men who lead these works. And we just pray, Lord, You'll continue to bless even the efforts there. We just thank You, Lord, for even new works that have commenced over lately, Lord, over the last few years. We just thank You, Lord, even for those works in Asia, and we just pray, Lord, You will own and bless. We pray, Lord, and thank You for the finance that comes in and the liberal giving of Thy people. And Lord, we offer our thanks, and Lord, we just pray, Lord, You'll continue to bless We pray for this meeting. We pray, Lord, that you will pour thy Holy Spirit upon this place. We pray, Lord, that you will bless the Reverend David Brown as he comes to open up thy precious word. We thank you for him. We pray, Lord, you'll fill him with power from above. And, O God, that even tonight you'll challenge hearts, challenge each one of our hearts, Lord, even whether it's the mission within our own Jerusalem here, Lord, or Samaria, or whether it's the far-flung corners of the earth. We pray, Lord, you'll even challenge hearts, even challenge young people tonight, Lord, that they would even see, Lord, the fields that are white unto harvest. And, O God, that even you'll call those that you would, for thine own choosing, Lord, you'll call those, Lord, unto thyself to be missionaries for thee. And so, Lord, we leave this meeting before thee. Go before, prepare the way, bless us, Lord, and do us good. And we'll be careful to give thee all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in thy name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. I was just thinking about that trip to Brazil when we saw the slides this morning. It was a very memorable time. And we have great memories of visiting the church there at Hebron. In the Portuguese, the N goes to an M. And it's in the city of Manaus. And that city is set right in the center of the jungle. So really, the only major way in and out is to fly. It's surrounded by jungle. And you could get out by the various rivers that are there, but you wouldn't be traveling by car or any other transport across land. We had great memories visiting Dr. Bill Woods and seeing the work firsthand as well in Rio Branco. And then he talked about the day off that we had and going out to the meeting of the waters where there is a clear, clean water, the River Negro, and it flows right beside a dark, muddy water, one of the tributaries of the Amazon River, and they flow side by side for many, many miles, and it's called the meeting of the waters. They don't mix because of the density and the temperature of the water, but they run side by side, so it's quite an amazing thing to see. And then I remember that huge snake that was around your neck. I couldn't find the photograph of that, but a lot of good memories, and we think often of our times there and what the Lord is doing there. And we're still in contact with folks in Brazil. Dr. Bill Woods is at home. He's itching to get back to Brazil, if that's possible. But we're also in contact with Pastor Herbert, who is the pastor of the church in Manaus, Hebron. Now, we have various reports tonight, a couple of reports in the main. And one is from De Panker Nandi. De Panker has a close association with our own church now because he has come into membership here, and we try to look after him as best as we can. And so I'm going to show you this report tonight that he has sent. May it be a challenge and a blessing.
Dear friends and families in the Lord, grace and peace be to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 67 says, "May God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God, let all the people praise thee." You know, for the psalmist, the reason for asking God to bless his people was not for their own benefit, but in order that God's salvation may be made known among all nations. Indeed, I am thankful for this opportunity to share with you how God blesses us here in order that his ways and his salvation may be made known in India. I would like to first speak about the Orphans Project in Orissa. As you are already aware, the Lord has been faithfully providing for 90 orphans in Orissa through the Mission Board. Despite various challenges which cannot be mentioned in this video, the team of volunteers under the supervision of Abraham has done very well to ensure that the supply of relief materials to the orphans go without interruption. Apart from the Orphans Project, as you are already aware, we are also engaged in pastors' conferences. These pastors' conferences take place once in every 3 months, and we have been working through Louis Berkhof's systematic theology so that we can help these pastors with some sound doctrinal teaching. You see, after working with various people in different provinces of India, I have come to recognize that there are so many people in India today that have heard about Jesus or about Christianity or about the church. And one of the things that I think brings the greatest degree of pain to my heart is that although they have heard those words, they don't truly understand what Christianity is or who Jesus is or what he has done for his people. You see, it is a pain to know that there are people who don't know Jesus. But it is a greater pain to know that some people have come to Jesus for wrong reasons. And that oftentimes it is through these people Christianity is being distorted. Chhattisgarh, my homeland, is one of the several provinces where the state of Christianity is worrying. Materialism abounds in majority of the churches here, and change in priorities has led to a profound decline in preaching. Many individuals today have never been under a steady diet of faithful and sound doctrinal preaching, and as a result of that, they are satisfied with what they hear because they have nothing better with which they can compare it. So it is with this concern and burden that we moved from Andhra Pradesh to Chhattisgarh. The early reformers, I was just reading a few days ago in a book, the early reformers believed that the quickest way to restore biblical Christianity to the church was to preach the whole counsel of God week after week, month after month. So with an attempt, with an aim, rather, to help people to recognize that they need the true Jesus, that they need sound biblical foundation to keep them anchored in the Lord. Anita and I have taken some baby steps, and I would like to take this opportunity to share those steps with you. First of all, for the last 3 months, Anita meets a group of women every month for a couple of hours and gives them a talk on the essential doctrines of the Bible. We call these meetings monthly women's meetings. We had commenced these meetings with 4 or 5 women, but now the strength has increased to 10 to 11 women. Apart from this work, as you're aware, you know, there are some children in Orissa and other parts of India who sift through trash cans for food. Children in many churches, especially in Orissa and Chhattisgarh, have barely experienced soul-nourishing preaching. And say so they just pick away at what is available for them. So with an intention to provide some good and solid biblical teaching, I gather some children and youth twice every week to help them to learn and study the shorter and the larger catechism. I started these classes with 4 children, and in 4 months' time, the Lord has caused these numbers to rise to 17 plus. In addition to the children's work, for the last 5 months or so, Pastor Kumar and I gather about 5 to 6 families every Sunday for the Lord's worship. These are such families that had heard the name of Jesus but were not attending any church. Paganism had a strong influence over 2 of these families, and they had plunged deep into superstition and other worldly beliefs. We felt that these families would benefit if we preached on the 10 commandments systematically. So the idea is to preach on each commandment till we have finished preaching on all of them. And by the grace of God, we have been able to preach on the first 3 commandments as of now. Please pray that these works, that these ongoing works would be blessed by the Lord. We have already started seeing benefits, or in fact, fruits of these labors that we are able to put in by God's grace. And it is encouraging that the Lord is assuring us that he has brought us in Chhattisgarh for a purpose. We request as a family, as a church, that you continue praying for us. For without your prayers, there is nothing we can do in this vast country, the land of India. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
So please continue to pray for Dipankar. It had been the mind of the mission board that we would visit there in the month of February, but with COVID restrictions, there has to be a 7-day period of quarantine, and that would just be 7 days wasted, so it's been postponed for another little time. But pray for the vast work there in India. Now we're going to hear from the youth choir. It's on video, and we're going to listen to the piece, Lead Me to Calvary. People who are taking part. Samuel, is that 2 years ago? Longer. Maybe the children who are much taller now can tell us when it was. You'll see a wee change in them. That was just lovely to hear them sing. And I think that was at a missionary weekend away back then. Now we have a report on Asia. In the mission board, we have various subcommittees. There's a subcommittee that looks after Uganda, and the Reverend McMillan is the chairman of that. There's a subcommittee that looks after Kenya, and the Reverend Harris is the chairman of that. And then there's a subcommittee is looking after the broader area of Asia, and the mission board has asked me to be the chairman of that. And the preacher tonight, he's the secretary, so we value the help that he gives as well. And we'll put together this little report for you tonight. And again, we want it to be an eye-opener to you and a challenge to your heart as you listen to it.
We look back over 2021 with thanksgiving to Almighty God
for the opportunities to come alongside various works in Asia, the world's largest and most populous continent, with its almost 4.7 billion. The Lord has opened doors, amazingly, for us in Nepal, India, Pakistan, and the Philippines. We have contacts in each of these countries that we help and support like many other needy places in the world. We have been able in these days of struggle with COVID-19 to help from our emergency aid fund. We have been labouring alongside our sister Free Presbyterian Church in Nepal for many years, seeking to support the Reverend Paul Thapa, his pastors, churches, and the precious children's home, and of course our own missionary who labours there. It was with deep sadness we learned of the home calling of the clerk of presbytery who died due to COVID-19. We were able to send practical support to his family and other families who had costly medical bills due to sickness. Continue to pray for the work of the gospel in Nepal. Just a few days ago, Brother Paul contacted me about another new church which has been opened in a remote village. 8 people had been converted through the preaching of one of the pastors. We hope to help with the building of a church structure there in the near future. There are many other families in the village to be reached, and Paul has asked if we would pray for the conversion of the entire village. This is a great vision. In India, through our Bible College student Dipankar, the gospel has been preached and pastors and leaders instructed and encouraged. Conferences have been held to strengthen men and women in the work of the Lord, and members of the mission board and presbytery have been able to participate in these preaching sessions through Zoom. We are financing the feeding of 90 orphan children every month who are located in 45 different villages. We appreciate the work of the team who are faithful in their deliveries of the food. Opportunities have been given to share the message of the gospel in these new remote parts. We have 3 main contacts in Pakistan: John, Deep, and Freya. By the grace of God, we have been able to financially support the education of 50 children at Grace Academy in the city of Lahore, and 90 children in the Carmichael School, situated in a remote tribal area of Pakistan. Through the generous donations of God's people, we have purchased Bibles for distribution. We have installed hand water pumps, a lifeline to many communities, built toilet units where there has been no facilities of this kind. We have supported Farah Tara Sewing Centre, where young ladies study God's Word together and learn the art of dressmaking. We have provided clothes and medicine for the poorest of families, and by the grace of God, we have encouraged outreach and evangelism in remote, deprived, and unreached areas. We have also conducted conferences and supported a Sunday school ministry. During the Christmas period, I had the opportunity to share the message of the gospel in many places, including some very remote tribal areas where Hinduism is so prevalent. I heard of 4 ladies at one meeting trusting in Christ, and in another place of 3 families who profess faith. We want to see this multiplied over and over again. We have contacts in the Philippines who we are helping, supporting, and training for gospel ministry. During the past year, we have assisted with practical support in a typhoon crisis and throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. Some of our contacts would like to be more closely associated with the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church, so we are investigating options and looking to the Lord for wisdom. There is an area where 20 families from a Roman Catholic background are assembling to hear the Word of God preached. We pray that the entrance of God's Word will give light. Will you pray for the vast continent of Asia? Will you ask God to bless these openings and opportunities, that He will be pleased to build His church in these nations, calling out a people unto Himself? We are so privileged as a very small denomination to be entrusted with such a great gospel enterprise.
Well, we bid you welcome tonight to our meeting. Good to have our brother John Dummigan and his wife. John is the secretary of our missionary council, and he's made it down this evening. Wasn't able to be here on Friday night. And he brought me 12 books of the 100 days of lockdown. We thought that were all gone, and he was able to locate these 12. If anyone wants a copy of this, we'll be glad to get it to you. There's a £10 subscription to India to help with the orphans, so just remember that we have 12 copies. This week is our week of prayer, and just because of restrictions, we're going to hold 3 nights, and that will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Every other night, beginning tomorrow night, as we come as a congregation to pray, plan to be with us, and the new prayer list for this year will be drawn up. Remember the Lord's Day, next Lord's Day, that begins with prayer, 8 o'clock, the Sabbath school at 10:30, and then the Bible class also at the same time when Phil will deal with our personal testimony. Worship service is 12 noon, gospel meeting is at 7, and we're having a visit of Sam Houston. He's coming to sing next Sunday night. Sam has recently produced a CD, and I think he'll tell you a little bit about that. Prayer meeting precedes the gospel service at 6:15. As we mentioned this morning, our mother texts are now in printed version, and we want you to take this. If you didn't get a copy this morning, if you didn't get a copy tonight, they're just at the door there as you leave. As is the offering basket, special missionary offerings during this weekend towards all the works represented. And so there is a vast need as we think of Liberia, Uganda, Nepal, India, Spain, and Asia generally, and the work that we want to do in these countries and the missionaries that we want to help and the projects that we want to involve ourselves in. I don't know what the offerings have been like, but I know that tonight we got a very substantial gift towards the missionary work, and we do thank the family concerned for their generosity. Thank you for your general tithes and offerings to God's work, and just to remind you, it's Building Fund today. We sing together 512, give me the faith which can remove and sink the mountain to a plain. Give me the childlike praying love which longs to build thy house again. As we welcome the congregation and welcome those that are listening in online, we also welcome the preacher tonight, the Reverend David Brown. He was a past student assistant in this congregation, so he's known to most of you. We're glad to have him back, and we're very glad to have his wife and his family. I think Lydia is sitting in darkness in the cry room, but she's very welcome, and the children that are here. And I think Micah has made it to the service. He's sitting somewhere. Where is he?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock? Okay, he's over at 1 o'clock, sitting beside Wesley. So good to have you and your family, brother, and we look forward to the message that you'll bring. You know, on Friday night when the Reverend Harris opened up the scriptures, he mentioned Matthew's gospel, and we came to chapter 16, and I just thought, that's interesting, because I was intending to preach, as you heard this morning, on Matthew chapter 24. I just made a comment to Susan this afternoon. You know, wouldn't it be a very interesting thing if the Reverend Brown was in Matthew's gospel? You know, of all the texts that could be chosen without consulting with one another, it's just an interesting thing if we were all in the same gospel. And so I asked him before the meeting, where's your text? And his text is in Matthew's gospel. So that's just a point of interest. And I'm sure that's a confirmation and encouragement to him as he brings the word. Give me the faith which can remove.
Thank you.
I've mentioned, we're delighted tonight to welcome back to this pulpit the Reverend David Brown, Minister of Larne, member of the Mission Board and the Secretary of the Asian Committee. And we're going to invite him to come now and bring that message from Matthew's Gospel, praying as always that the Lord will bless this man to us and speak through his word, challenge our hearts, and may this weekend rise to a climax in this final message that will be brought to your heart and mind. God bless you, brother, as you minister.
Well, it's lovely to be back with you again in the Ballymoney congregation. You see many familiar faces and friends that we made during our time here some years ago. It was actually 11 years ago since I was serving here with the Reverend Park for that period of time. And we still have many fond memories and encouragements from our time with you here and many friendships that have lasted since then. So it is genuinely good to be back with you. If I could just take the opportunity again to encourage you to pray for your pastor and for your minister here and for the exceptionally heavy load that he does carry, not only in this work in Ballymoney, but across the globe, very much involved in the Mission Board and as the chairman, I mean referring to Reverend Park, as the chairman of the Asian subcommittee. He has a heavy load, particularly preaching regularly in different areas across Asia. Even on Christmas Day, he was preaching somewhere in Pakistan through Zoom. And so do pray for him. The Lord has been using him to lead souls to Christ through those meetings. And it is peculiar and wonderful to see just how things have been progressing in Pakistan and how the Lord has used him through those Zoom meetings. So do pray for the Mission Board, for missionaries, that the Lord will continue to extend his kingdom through this little denomination that we are all involved in. Now tonight, as our brother has said, I want to direct your attention to Matthew's Gospel, where the Reverend Park phoned to ask, or text, whatever means of technology it was, to ask if I would come. I informed him, I'll get back to you, leave it with me. And I sat down just to think about it and just consider if it was the right thing to come or not. And I have to admit, this would have been one of the last passages to come to my mind for a missionary meeting. But the Lord placed it upon my heart, and I believe it is the Lord's word this evening. It is my prayer that perhaps some young woman or some young man, perhaps tonight you're not even saved. I trust tonight you'll not only be saved, but you will give your life to the service of God. And he would maybe send you to be a missionary into the world where he is constantly redeeming the lost. Matthew chapter 1 and the verse number 1. Let's take the time to read the first 6 verses together, please. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas, that's Judah, begat Phares and Zara of Thamar, or Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse. And Jesse begat David the king. And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Thank you for your prayerful support for me, but I want you to even pray for yourself right now and for those around you, that the Lord would speak and challenge tonight, and that indeed the Lord's word would have the desired effect on some soul or souls this evening.
Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, as we humbly bow before Thee, we think in the words of the hymn that we have just sang together, that You would grant to each of us that calm yet fervent zeal. Not zeal without knowledge, and not knowledge without zeal, but a calm and fervent zeal to serve the Lord. A zeal, Lord, that cannot be quenched or abated by discouragements or distractions, but that every believer here would be convicted to go on with God and to serve Thee while life is granted to us. But Lord, particularly tonight, I pray for the lost, the unsaved. Perhaps there's somebody here, Lord, and the possibility of going to the mission field never even crossed their mind. In fact, getting saved has never even crossed their mind. We pray, Lord, this evening You would change all of that, and that the lost would come to Christ, and that those who are then Thine will be drawn to serve Thee. And for some believer here tonight, maybe sitting on the fence and wondering whether or not they should push the boat out, as it were, and go into service, Lord, may Thy word be effective tonight, and for Thy people, speak to us. We rejoice that, Lord, Thou art on the throne, the King and Head of the Church. We pray, Lord, tonight You would glorify Your name, and particularly, Lord, that Thy will would be done, and that You would have Your way in every soul gathered here tonight. Be with us. In Jesus' precious name we ask. Amen and amen. It has been encouraging this past year, even in the midst of a pandemic, to watch how the Lord has been progressing His work and how the kingdom of God has been advancing and growing, particularly in Pakistan, to hear of the professions of faith that we have heard about at our mission board meetings and the establishment there of a little school. In Nepal, that new group being reached and the ready reception of the gospel and souls being saved and the potential for a new church to be erected for the glory of God, for the protection of our missionaries, for all of the aid that went out in 2021. It has been encouraging to sit back and observe what the Lord has been doing. And so, dear congregation, tonight, the Lord has been adding to His church daily such as should be saved last year. Do you understand what that means for you? It means your prayers have been heard and your prayers have been answered. It means your tithing, when you sacrificially give to different aspects of the work of God in the mission field, those tithes have been used for the advancement of God's kingdom. That should encourage you tonight. And every word or every prayer that you have offered up to God on behalf of the missionaries has been a word of encouragement to them. You're a fruitful congregation then, for your service has not been in vain. And I want to, I suppose, assure you tonight that assisting in the spreading of the gospel across the globe is the will of God. That's the will of God for you to participate in. And indeed, when we look at the book of Matthew, we see the emphasis on global evangelization. We just read about it in Matthew 1. Indeed, Matthew is like a book with two bookends. It begins with global evangelization and it concludes with the Great Commission about global evangelization. Look at chapter 1 then of Matthew, and you will have seen, as we read through it, the names of several outsiders. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, they were outsiders. And through human instrumentality, the Lord brought them into the family of God. And then you go to the very last book of Matthew, where the church is told to go into all the world, to go and teach the nations. And that's the word ethnos. Teach the nations of the world about the gospel and bring them in. We have a book here from end to end about global evangelization. And so tonight, I simply want to remind you of his global gathering program. The Lord's global gathering program. And first of all, tonight I want you to see the people he saves. Look with me then in detail now at Matthew chapter 1. Look at the people whom the Lord saves. There is the Tamars. There is the Rahabs, the Ruths, and the Bathshebas. I find that most interesting tonight. You see, this is the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's written so that the people and you and I tonight know that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the prophesied Messiah because he comes from Abraham and he comes from the line of David. But beside that, which is a great important point, but beside that, look at the only women that he mentions in this list. Matthew, by inspiration, focuses upon the skeletons in the cupboard. I find it fascinating that he highlights these women who are in questionable circumstances. You see, the Lord didn't move Matthew's hand to write about godly Sarah. He didn't move Matthew's hand to write about Rachel, Isaac's faithful wife, or Leah, who loved Jacob. No, he focuses upon these women in, well, difficult circumstances, in shady circumstances, you could say. Tamar was a Gentile, Rahab was a harlot, Ruth the Moabitess, and Bathsheba, another man's wife. And you might think to yourself, or you might expect, at least, Matthew to, well, maybe not mention the skeletons in the cupboard, maybe set them to the side at least. But when you read Matthew 1, you see that the Lord is not ashamed of these women. He's not ashamed of them. He'll not be ashamed of them on the judgment day, and he'll not be ashamed of you for all your sins. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and the Lord will certainly not skip them out come that great day when the roll is called up yonder. Look just very quickly at some of these women. Well, we'll focus on the first one and just scan through the rest. Look in verse number 3 here. And Judas, or Judah, begat Phares and Zarah of Thamar, or Tamar. Tamar was a tragic young woman. She had a tragic start to her adult life. She suffered because of the sin and because of the selfishness and the neglect of some of the men in her life. That's the reality. Judah, remember who Judah was, by the way? He was the man who suggested selling his brother Joseph into slavery. And as he continued on that sinful, selfish trajectory, the Bible tells us that he went down from his brethren. And what that means is this man, Judah, his geographical direction parallels his spiritual direction. He's going down from his brethren. He's backsliding, you could say. And when he did so, he went into a friend of his, an Ammonite, and there he met a Canaanite woman, took her to wife, and they raised 3 sons, and 2 of those sons were particularly wicked. And one of those sons was called Ur. And Ur saw this woman, Tamar, and he took Tamar to be his wife. And so Tamar was introduced into this family. She was brought in. Unfortunately, her husband was a wicked man, and God slew him. And so Tamar was left a childless widow. But there was a law. It was all written at this point, but it existed, that when a man dies, when he is deceased, his brother should raise up seed in his name. And so Tamar was given to his younger brother On. But again, On, Judah's other son, was equally wicked. God slew him. So for the second time, Tamar is a childless widow. And that was difficult in those days because there was no welfare system, and it was difficult when you had no man to care for you and help you in those days. But there was one son left, and it would have been right for Judah to give that son to Tamar, but Judah did not. And Judah, in failing to do so, effectively deserted Tamar and left her to her poverty, and that was a wrong thing for him to do. And so he was setting himself up to be judged of God. But he wasn't judged of God because Tamar tricked her father-in-law into taking her to be his wife. That's what happened. And here's the thing. The Bible records that after all that, Judah said to Tamar that you are more righteous than I. You're more righteous than I. And the Lord blessed Tamar for not seeking a stranger for a husband, not going outside the covenant family for a husband. The Lord blessed her with two boys. One of them was brought into the family, the genealogy of Christ. Next time you read of Tamar and her family, they are going down to Egypt together to the place where Judah's brother was sold a slave. What I want you to see here is this. Here was a woman that was brought into the family of God by the instrumentality of a man who certainly does not set an example as to how to serve the Lord. But human instrumentality is how God brings outsiders into the kingdom of God. Work on through this list with me. We'll mention the next few women in passing. Verse 5. We have now verse 5, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, or Rechab as she is pronounced there. Rahab, we are told, was the harlot. Again, difficult circumstances. But in Hebrews 11:31, we are told, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. You see, these women aren't saved simply because they are involved in the family of Christ. These women had faith in God. They were justified. They were righteous before the Lord. What about Ruth, the Moabitess? A good and a pleasant girl, but she was a Moabite. And here's the problem with that. The Moabites, again, began through incest, and the Lord had prohibited and banned them from entering into the people of Israel. But here you have a woman, Ruth, who at the very least lived amongst the Moabites, and the Lord brought her in too. And her confession of faith is found in the words where she says to Naomi, "Thy God is my God." The last woman in our list here tonight is another man's wife, verse 6. The very end of verse 6, it speaks about David's wife, who was actually the wife of another man, Urias. Her name was Bathsheba. Now, Bathsheba, like David, was an Israelite, and they were brought up trusting in the Lord, and I've no doubt they did. David trusted in the Lord. Bathsheba, certainly there's evidence to say she trusted in the Lord, only fell into sin. But here are different women in what we could describe as shady circumstances, yet they're all brought into the family of God by human instrumentality. And the Lord doesn't brush over that here or try to hide it, but the Lord actually highlights it for us tonight. And after reading about the circumstances of these women and these men, this is what makes verse 21 all the more powerful. Verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He doesn't brush over them. He doesn't hide them. The Lord saves them from their sins. And the Lord saved all those women from their sins and those men from their sins, the Judahs, the Tamars, the Rahabs, the Ruths, whoever else you care to mention. And so, folks, tonight, you have a passage here that highlights particularly young women, some neglected, some living in immorality and in sin. And yet the Lord brought them into the kingdom, and they became effective in the service and in the work of God. And I just wonder tonight, is there specifically a young woman? And you feel like an outsider. And you're carrying guilt tonight. That troubles you. Let me say, on the authority of this passage, you call upon the Lord.
and he'll receive you and bring you in. And perhaps tonight, you're sitting as you are or watching online a missionary meeting, and the Lord isn't only calling you to be saved, but you know in your heart, the Lord would have you do something more, to lay your life on the altar. And from this night forward, wherever God says you have to go, you'll go without hesitation. Might be at home, might be across the water, but you'll go. And maybe tonight that scares the wits out of you. And I don't blame you. But what an adventure it would be to spend your life serving and, if need be, dying for Christ. I can put it to you, you would not regret the decision to go, the decision to be saved tonight, and the decision to go and serve the Lord. You would never regret it, not in this life, and certainly not in eternity. You see, all these women were brought in through human instrumentality. And the likes of Jacob and David and so on, they were men who were believers from the family of God. As Guy and I said, they're not all examples, that's for sure, in regards to how to evangelize. There's no doubt about that. But let me say this tonight, dear believer. Would you be willing? Would you be willing to go out to the foreign field and to reach out to the Tamars, to the Ruths, to the Rahabs, to the Bathshebas, and share the gospel with them? Because that's what our missionaries are already doing. There are times where our missionaries give the gospel to people in very, very complicated situations, and it requires great wisdom, and we would encourage you to pray. Pray that the Lord would give our missionaries wisdom to deal with such circumstances, because sometimes it's very complicated. But perhaps tonight, would you be willing to go to reach them for Christ? That's the people whom he saves. And just secondly and finally tonight, let me show you the power he gives. Because the Lord obviously sends his people out with power to fulfill his will. Go then to the end of this book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. And you're well familiar with it, so it doesn't require much explanation. But Matthew 28, and it says in verse 17, "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." There were some doubters. Doubters in his power, perhaps, or just struggling with the enormity of what they are witnessing and living through, the resurrected Christ. And well, verse 18, you see, their doubting doesn't prevent the Lord from sending them. Verse 18, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all ethnos, or nations." The Lord took these fishermen, these corrupt financial men, or man, as one of them was, Matthew anyway, he saved them that they might serve. Now, some of these men served at home. Some of them, like Paul, who would come to faith soon, went to serve the Lord in the mission field. But it's a great act of mercy that the Lord saved any of these individuals. It's a great act of mercy that God worked in the life of Judah, in Tamar, of David, of Bathsheba, of Naomi, of Ruth, and so on. It's a great work of grace and mercy in your life that God has saved you. It's a great mercy that the Lord would then send us to go and reach other people with the gospel. It's a duty, but it's something that's a privilege to participate in some way in seeing the kingdom of God advance and grow. Some will be sent simply to your neighbors or to your friends. Some are sent to the open air or the outreach. Some are sent to the foreign fields. And this weekend, of course, is focused in people leaving these shores and
going beyond Ulster to take the gospel further afield. We don't go in our own strength. Like I said a minute ago, maybe getting saved tonight terrifies you. Not only getting saved, but going to serve the Lord is incomprehensible to you. I would ask you tonight to be encouraged by the words of Christ, because He will save you and He will empower you to go and to serve Him around the world. You see, in verse 19, go ye therefore. That's His commission. And He says, I will be with you. No matter where you go, I will be with you. All power is given unto Him and He will work through you. That's the key here. So don't be discouraged tonight in human weakness. We go in human weakness. Remember that text in Isaiah 43, where it says there, fear not, ye worm Jacob. And we're like a worm. But the Lord can take up His people and make them a sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You pray that for yourself and for missionaries, that we would be equipped to plow through all of the adverse difficulties and see the work of God advance and grow. So I would challenge you with this tonight in closing. If there is anyone whose heart the Lord is exercising to leave all and go in search of the Tamars, Rahabs, and Ruths, perhaps the Lord is calling you to be a fisher of men. Go with this confidence that it is God's will to gather in all people, different people from all nations of the world. The Bible does not indicate anywhere that if the Lord wants to save the heathen, He'll do it without you. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. If the Lord is going to save the heathen, He uses human instrumentality like you and me. And so tonight, can I challenge you? Will you go? Seriously. Will you go? Now, maybe you are thoroughly convinced that the Lord would not have you to go, and not everyone is called to go. If you're not to go, well then will you give? Will you give of your time to pray and to encourage your missionaries? Would you give of your tithe to support the work of God across the globe? Continue to do so. But maybe tonight, it's not the matter of you going. Maybe first of all, you have to come. Maybe first of all, you have to come to Christ tonight. Maybe tonight you need to deal with the guilt and the sin and get right with God and then go. Then go and serve. I would encourage you not to put that off any longer, but indeed come to Christ tonight. And then go and serve the Master, the Savior of our souls. Thank you for your time and for listening so attentively. I'll hand back to your minister, the Reverend Park, and may the Lord bless you here in Ballymoney. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. The burden of this weekend has been the work of God, the work of missions, the evangelization of those who know not Christ, and the great appeal to go. And I just ask that question that has been put to you. Will you go? Will you go? If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for Him. That's a wee word of prayer. What we need, Lord, is the application of your word. The messages have been brought. The work of the Great Commission has been set before us again. The appeal has been made to go, to give, to pray, these things. But we need the Lord in it all to apply the word, to bring conviction, concern, to give compassion. Help us, Lord, to hear what God is saying to our heart and to respond readily and to give ourselves afresh to Him. Be pleased to put your hand upon this church, upon all that are here, including our visitors. We pray that you'll stir our hearts and send us forth this year to bring others to the Savior. And may a great work be done at home and abroad. May Christ be glorified. May sinners from the nations of the world be gathered in. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. 526. There's one thing that you don't want to miss, and that's the well done on the great day, when the Lord will say to his people who have been faithful, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that hymn that we're going to sing now is based on this. We're reminded about the one life that we have, the brevity of it. It's just like vapor passing away. The treasures of worth are those treasures really that pertain to eternity. So let's labor to that end and give ourselves to the Lord, the life that God has given to us here to live for Him. I have only one life on this earth. Get a second one. No such thing as reincarnation. One life to give, one life to live, and before you know it, it'll soon pass. And you ask the older people that are here, and they'll be able to testify, it's just been the vapor that appears for a little time and then passes away. Will you give your life to Christ tonight for Christian service? Will you go And you, if my finger points at you, you take it to heart. Young people will covet you for the Lord. I would even call you out by name tonight. When you go, serve the Lord, give yourself to Him now, and say, I'll be what God wants me to be. If it's to serve Him here in the local church, I'm happy to do that and get involved where I can. If it's to be a minister, an evangelist, a missionary, I'm prepared for that. Whatever the will of God is, I want to do that well. And if we can help you, that's why we're here. And we'll encourage you all we can. It's the one thing that we can promise as a church. If God called you, we will stand with you. We will support you. We will pray for you. And we will do all we can to get you to where God has planned for you to go. Maybe John Dummigan can just come and close in a wee word of prayer tonight. Good to have him. He's, as we said, the secretary of the Missionary Council and has been that for many, many years, and a member of the Mission Board as well. Thank you, John.
Let us all pray. I come before God this evening. We've heard His word faithfully preached tonight. We've seen some special photos and reports about how the Lord has worked in foreign lands. And we just say, thank thee, Lord. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this missionary weekend in Ballymoney, Father, we do come with praise and thanksgiving in our heart for those who have come out to hear and to learn. Lord, those who have got an interest in the missionary work, we thank thee for it. We thank thee for those speakers who have come. Lord, we pray that thou will bless them indeed. We think of our missionaries around the world. Lord, we thank and praise thee that even during these past years, there has been an extension of thy work. We think particularly tonight, where we've just heard about Pakistan. Lord, it's wonderful, it's marvelous to see the way that thou hast worked. Thou hast called thy servants to go and to preach thy word, even through the Zoom. Oh, Father, we just praise thee for it. We do think of John and his brother David. We do pray for Ephraim, and we pray for Deep. Lord, bless them, encourage them, and strengthen them. Lord, we do think of Deepankar over there in India. Lord, bless him. Lord, he's thy servant, and we see the work that thou are doing through him. Lord, bless him, and we think of Pastor Kimmer. We think of all the rest of the pastors. Come, Lord, and touch them, we pray. Holy Ghost, so come with great power upon each and every one of them. And as the word goes forth, that there will be a mighty work done in that great continent. Lord, come and bless, we pray. We think of in Nepal. Lord, we do thank thee for the orphanage. We do pray that I will bless that Free Presbyterian denomination out there. Lord, we know there's so much great opposition. But Lord, there's always been opposition from the very beginning. And there'll always be opposition to the very end whenever the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. Lord, strengthen them and bless them and fill them with the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, we know that the radio work is so important, and we'll pray for let the Bible speak. Oh Lord, bless it, we pray. Undertake for them, Lord, as it goes through all these countries. Oh Lord, be near to them. We'll think of the Philippines as well. We'll thank thee for this new opportunity. Come, Lord, and bless them out there and help them. We see their home has been destroyed. Oh, Lord, they have no food, and as many have no clothes. Oh, Lord, bless them, we pray. Do a mighty work there as well. Lord, and we do pray for the whole world. Lord, would we pray for our missionaries? Lord, bless each and every one of them. Lord, encourage them and strengthen them. And Father, but Lord, it's already been looked upon tonight. The harvest fields are ready and they're white. But Lord, the laborers are few. And we'll pray to thee tonight, the Lord of the harvest, that I will come and call young people, middle-aged and elderly old people, into thy work and service, matter what little it may be they'll be doing. Lord, we long to see our young people go into the Whitfield College of the Bible. Lord, there just doesn't seem to be as many now. Very few. Lord, we cry unto thee this night in Ballymoney Free Presbyterian Church that thou will come and call people into thy work. Lord, bless, we pray. So, Father, we pray for this church. Pray that I will bless the minister here. We pray that I will bless the minister in Lorne as well. Be with them, Lord. Bless them, we pray. Bless this whole congregation. So, Father, we just pray that thou will bring us to our homes in safety. And we just pray as God the Father who planned our salvation, God the Son who fulfilled it on the cross and Calvary, and God the Holy Ghost who witnessed our hearts, brought us to Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. And hallelujah.